You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 9th of January 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. And as today is Friday, we have a very special guest with us today. We have Grandpa Dan with us today. Grandpa Dan, happy new year to you, sir. How the devil are you doing?
Well, you know, it's like I saw a meme last night, you know, and it's like the guy's face and he's saying, you know, gee, I hope 2026 is better than 2025. And then the next frame is first week of 2026, January, and there's basically a nuclear explosion going off. That's going the way I feel. 2026, already getting started off with a bang. Yeah, we're not going to be short of material for sure through this year, if we even survive this year. I don't know. Things are extremely crazy and bound to get even more crazy, I think, Sven.
Yeah, it was very unexpected what happened there in Venezuela. Of course, you talked about that on Parish of the Patriots this week. That was unexpected. But the news story today, sadly, it is to be expected, I think, especially if we're going to have all of these policies to improve diversity in various areas. And the title of the news story that we get today is Metropolitan Police Hired Child Rapist in Bid to Boost Diversity as Force Admits It Failed to Properly Vet Thousands of Officers. And we're taking our source here from the Daily Mail. A child rapist was among officers the Metropolitan Police hired as part of a diversity drive, despite failing background checks. PC Cleef Mitchell was welcomed by Scotland Yard in 2020, despite having been investigated in 2017 for raping a child. It emerged Mitchell was allowed to join the force after a vetting panel, partly focused on improving diversity, overturned the decision to reject him, despite the unproven allegation. And this is just quite unreal. They rejected this guy because of this. And then it went before a diversity panel, and the panel that was there to improve diversity, they overturned this. Now, we know that black people in Britain are five times more likely than white people to be prosecuted for crimes. And you can check that figure on just by asking Google. You can get that on AI. So, of course, that means that more black people are going to have criminal records, which means it's going to be difficult for black people to join the police, because there aren't going to be so many of them that don't actually have a criminal record. So I can remember some years back, they said, in order to improve diversity, we're going to have to start allowing people in with a criminal record. And I think they meant at the time things like being caught with cannabis or getting caught stealing, something like that, a sort of minor crime. But raping a child is pretty much the worst crime that you can get. And yet it was more important to the police, the Metropolitan Police, to improve their diversity than it was to actually keep out child rapists. And I think this really shows you how important the establishment views diversity. To them, it is more important than having a child rapist on the police force. It's more important to them than thousands of young girls being raped by grooming gangs. It's like it's this holy idol that they all have to worship. Grandpa, what do you make of this? You must have been as shocked as me, but also, I suspect, unsurprised by it.
Yeah, no, I'm not shocked at all. The problem, and I think this gets a lot missed quite a bit, the problem is not diversity itself. Let that soak in for you a minute. The problem isn't having, you know, these different people on the police force. The problem comes down to this dogma that they have enacted to where the percentages have to match. If you have this percentage of the population racially, then you have to have that exact same percentage on the police force in this case, or whatever field, because they use this dogma. And you hit it on the head with this being a form of idolatry. It is like a religion to these people. This isn't just, and we get into this in a lot of these different seemingly irrational things that these governments do. And it's not rational. It is a religious dogma. And that's why they are so devoted. They have this dogma that diversity means if 13% of your population, in this case, is black, then you have to have 13% on the police force. And why? The reason I said diversity itself is not a problem. It's not as though they cannot find black people to put on the police force. So they're going to be qualified and will be just fine. It's just that it's hard if you're demanding that 13% representation. You know, you might wind up with, say, 5% representation or 7%, but you would still have diversity and there wouldn't be a problem. Nobody would say, well, we don't need them kind on our police force. You know, it's the dogma that the percentages have to match. Otherwise you're not doing it. And it's completely irrational. It doesn't make any logical sense. You have diversity. If you have 5% of your police force, even though 13% of the population is black in this case, and again, it wouldn't matter which race. We're just using that for our example, because what our story is pertaining to today. If you only had 5%, you still have diversity, and yet you still remain quality. You still keep some integrity here, but they have their soul. They're so sold on this dogma that the percentages have to match that they're going out and basically hiring people like this guy that we're going to be talking about, that we're talking about today. And isn't that insulting to the demographic that they're supposedly trying to help with this claim, this devotion to quote unquote diversity? They're essentially saying, without saying, that the only way we can have black people on the police force is if we get the child rapist and let him on. But that's not true. It's just to get to that 13% that they're demanding, they're dredging the bottom of the barrel. And another thing, and then we'll move on, they could even get to the 13% without getting down to people like this. But the problem is the other people that they could theoretically get from the racial group, they don't want the job. And I don't blame them. I wouldn't want to be a cop either. You couldn't pay me enough money because my integrity means too much. So the decent people in the racial demographic don't want the job, so they can't get them. There's a certain percentage that would still be okay for the job. They can get them, but they can't get to the 13%. So they're filling that gap with literally criminals at this point.
Well, I just have to point out there, you're talking about the American figures there. I think with the 13% for blacks over here in Britain, it's just 3-4% of the population are black, and 14-15% of the prison population are black. And in America, it's 13% of the population that are black and 56% of the prison population that are black. That's how come we know that this isn't because of something that's just happening in Britain or just happening in America. It's the same percentage that commit the crimes. And it's a good point that you make there, Grandpa, as well. It's not that they can't get decent black police officers. It's that they can't get enough of them. And that's the reason why, that you very clearly outline there. It's because there aren't enough of them that don't actually have a criminal record, as well as getting ones that do actually want to be in the police. In September 2023, while a serving Met officer, Mitchell violently raped a woman before kidnapping her at knife point. Bear in mind, this is after he had become a police officer. The victim had been raped and abused over a number of years, and Mitchell used his position as a police officer to intimidate her. I mean, that's quite incredible, isn't it? The police officer literally raped this woman and then said, well, you're not going to be able to say anything about it because I am the police. When Mitchell was arrested, the historic allegations were reinvestigated and he was charged with an additional 3 counts of rape of a child under 13. Mitchell was subsequently convicted of 13 counts of rape, including 6 against a child, and he was sentenced to life imprisonment with a minimum term of 13 years in May 2024. The 26-year-old was one among more than 100 applicants who were allowed to join the force despite failing background checks after they were referred to a special panel set up to examine rejected applications from ethnic minority candidates. So it's not as if the police didn't do their job and just said, well, we're not going to bother vetting these people. They did vet everyone, and 100 of the people that they vetted, they said these people are not suitable to join the police. And then when the special panel that was set up to examine these rejected applications, when they saw it, they said, oh, no, these people are absolutely fine to join the police. We have to have a certain percentage of black police officers, and this is the only way that we can do it, which is absolutely, absolutely shameful. And I think you hit the nail on the head there, Grandpa, when you said that not enough of them actually want to join the police. I think that's probably why they ended up saying, well, we're going to have to just ignore the crimes of these 100 applicants because otherwise we're just not going to get the numbers. So they're really stuck, aren't they? Because they can't encourage black people to join the police. They don't want to join the police. And the ones that do want to join the police, a certain portion of them, are going to be dodgy characters like this one that only want to join the police so that they can abuse the position. I mean, it's quite horrific what went on. But and also, bear in mind that it wasn't just that he carried out this horrific offence before he joined the police. Once he had joined the police, he carried out even more offences and abused his position. And you would just wonder, like, how often that goes on and how many other police there are that are abusing their position in order to abuse women or abuse children. Grandpa, what are your thoughts on this bit?
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think it's one of the important things we can do on these discussions is get down into these details. I mean, we could do an easy story here and you know, rail about, you know, the surface stuff. But when you get down to it again, who wants to be a cop? Like, I don't. And of course, obviously, I'm going to keep conflating some of the American policing stuff because there is some parallels here with the British. But with the overall character in law enforcement, it speaks something to that. I mean, this particular story makes you stop and though think, okay, but what about the character of the white officers on the British police force? You know, if okay, here they're dredging the very, very bottom of the barrel in the name of diversity. But if we know that the part of that is because a certain percentage of the black population doesn't want any part of being a cop, then it stands to, you know, for logical reason, for obvious reasons, then it stands to reason that also a significant portion of the white population wouldn't want to be a cop either. Like I say, I wouldn't. I've got too much character for that. So what does that say for the overall character of the police in general? Now, you also have to put that, I can't help but to keep thinking about the story that was out, I don't know, a month or so ago there in Britain, where you had your bull police knocking on somebody's door at 1 o'clock in the morning over a Facebook post. Now, you get up, you're in Britain, you get a friendly knock on the door, and you open it up, and it's some bobby standing there. I couldn't resist the opportunity, fan, of butchering the accent. You got a cop standing there at 1 o'clock in the morning at your door, telling you they're there, you know, and you're thinking, well, maybe there was a crime in the neighborhood and they want to make sure I'm safe. No, they want to come in your house. For some reason, they're always, whether it's Britain or America, they're always obsessed with wanting to come inside your house and to talk to you about a social media post. Now, as a regular citizen, knowing what you know, what if this guy is this guy? What if it's some rapist that they just let on the police force? Are you going to be comfortable letting him in your house? This is what you have to put, because this is what it means for the average citizen. They may be okay. They may be a cop with integrity, but they also might be this guy. The chances are not zero that it's someone like this guy, and he's standing there wanting to come inside your house to talk to you about your social media posts. Are you going to let him in? I'm not. You know, I mean, here in the U.S., we kind of have a semblance of they can't come in your house without a warrant. They ignore it all the time and violate the law. But nevertheless, you're going to do everything you can not to let that person in your house, because the odds, again, maybe the odds are not overwhelming, but the odds are not zero that this guy could be one of these criminals that they just let in anyway. So you have to factor that in to your interaction with the police. And then if people see videos of somebody and they're like, well, they're being so unreasonable, they're being kind of rude dealing with the police. But you have to wonder, you don't know what you're dealing with, because this it's be like if you had a child, Sven. If you had a small child and then you had five dudes standing there and someone told you one of these five dudes is a pedophile. Now pick somebody to leave your kid with. You'll be, if you don't know which one of them is, you're going to say, no, I'm not going to leave my kid with any of them. I'm not taking the chance. Well, you have a 4 out of 5 chance that it's not a pedophile. Just go ahead and pick somebody to leave your child with. You're going to say, no, I'm not leaving my child with any. I don't care if the chance is 1%. I'm not taking that 1% chance. And that's what people have to have in their mind. When they're dealing with the police, the odds are not zero that you're dealing basically with a criminal with a badge and a uniform on. And so you have to act that way. So when you see videos and say, oh, these people are being really outrageous, the way they're behaving, you know, being so disrespectful to the police. Well, yeah, because what are you could very well be dealing with a criminal here. And it says something as well that these are the types of people, again, that the government wants in these sorts of jobs. I you see the general trend and you have to say, why is it they want these types of people in this job? Why is that? You know, I mean, it is the trend. You can see the trend, Sven, and the trend is not what I would call, I don't think it's a positive trend. I'll just put it that way.
I think what it really says, that the police are so desperate to get black people in there, and yet there are so few black people that do actually want to be the police, that they will literally let a child rapist in, because there are so few black people that actually want to join the police. And that's what it's effectively saying. But in a bid to hit diversity targets set up by former Met Commissioner Dame Cresta Dick, the force allowed standards to slip and let Mitchell and others become police officers. And Dame Cresta Dick, we've talked about her quite a few times on the Daily Nationalist over the years. She was the former commissioner of the Metropolitan Police, and she was a diversity hire herself. She's only about 5'2", but she's female and she's a lesbian. And she's very politically correct. That's why she was given the job. She wasn't given the job because she was a top cop. She was given the job because it fit the diversity targets that they had for getting women into top positions. And once she's in that top position, she sets up another diversity target here for black and minority ethnic officers. And this is what you end up with. So it was literally set up by somebody who was a diversity hire herself. And the end result of that is a child rapist on the police force. Mitchell and another 24 officers were given a second chance to join the Met, who then went on to commit criminal offences or misconduct, including violence, sex attacks and drug use. And again, that's only the 24 officers that we know about. They're only the ones that have been caught out. Yesterday, the Daily Mail reported that more than 130 officers and staff let in due to vetting failures, then went on to commit crimes or misconduct. Mitchell and another 24 officers were given a second chance to join the Met, who then went on to commit criminal offences or misconduct, including violence, sex attacks and drug abuse. So it repeats itself a little bit there. But that's 130 in all that they know about, that they let in due to these vetting failures. And then they went on to carry out more crimes. How many others are they that they let in due to vetting failures anyway? We haven't actually been told how many hundreds of police officers there are that they actually didn't do the proper vetting. I mean, it's only by chance that we're actually hearing about this one. I think there could be more. Grandpa, I don't know if you remember us talking about Cresta Dick in the past, but have you got any comments on this recent paragraph I just quoted from?
Yeah, well, and the repeating and the weird wording, that's just a Daily Mail thing. I was doing, in your absence, you know, I was doing Daily Mail stories on the Monday, and I'm convinced the Daily Mail doesn't even have an editorial staff or something. Nobody goes over and proofreads these articles because they're always so, shall we say, extremely sloppy. The thing is, this isn't going to be, this is just the police we're talking about. And it's not going to be isolated to the police. So I was sitting here thinking before we did this story, what about the military? If this is the state of the police, what about the British military? While you've got Keir Starmer basically playing with fire, talking all kinds of smack about basically going, essentially going to war with Russia. And this is who they're going to go to war with. This is going to be their military. Because if the police is in this sort of condition, what sort of condition is the military in while they're at the same time agitating for war? You know, they're going to get their diversity if they go down that path, because I have to think that a lot of their traditional pool of people they would draw off of to put into the military aren't going to be willing to go. So they're going to get all the diversity they want. We'll have a reverse diversity. They'll be going out and grabbing. They'll be doing like the Ukrainians. They'll be grabbing random white dudes off the street and shoving them in a van to go to the front because they don't want to go. We don't have enough white people in the military. We got to have more diversity. The white people are refusing to go. So you have to think about that. I look at these things. Because where you and I think are going to differ on this is, see, I don't think any of this is reversible. When I talk about these things, I don't talk about them in the context of we have to know, we have to wake people up and turn it around. I don't think it's turnaround. I don't think you can. I think all you're doing is bearing witness to the destruction. And then after it all falls apart, we'll see what happens afterwards. That's my view. And so what does that mean for everybody? Is you have to be aware of these things and conduct yourself accordingly. You know, don't have a pie in the sky view of how the system works. You see it for the reality is, because I don't think you're going to change it. I'm sorry. I don't think you're going to turn it around. I don't. And like I said, I think you and I are probably going to differ in that view, and that's fine, but you have to realize the reality of it and conduct yourself accordingly. Like I said earlier, if the police are knocking at your door at 1 o'clock in the morning, want to come in and talk to you about your social media post, the chances are not zero that this could actually literally be a criminal with a badge on that wants to come into your house. You can't just blindly trust that, well, it's the police. They're okay. They're the good guys. You can't assume that anymore. The systems do not function the way they did in the past. And this is a very difficult thing. This reality is very difficult for a lot of people, especially older people such as myself, to wrap their minds around, because we were around back when it wasn't this way. And we want to deny the reality and assume that it's still that way. There's a few bad apples, but overall, they're still okay. And I think it's really important just on a survival basis for people to wrap their minds around the reality that those days are gone. The police knocking at your door could be potentially a criminal wanting to come in your house. So you need to behave and act accordingly. You know, you should be a lot more cautious. Try to have nothing to do with them. Don't assume that they're the good guys, because increasingly we're seeing that they're not the good guys.
Well, once the genie is out of the bottle, it's very difficult to get the genie back in. So I am in agreement with you there. And bearing witness to it is what we're doing. We're documenting this and making people aware that this is what's going on. And it doesn't have to be this way. It's the way that it is, because that's the direction that things took after the end of World War II. And this is how we ended up with where we are today. That's why it's important that we talk about these issues and talk about what actually led up to this situation. And I think we can improve the situation. We may not be able to turn things around, but we can improve the situation. simply by getting politicians in that are sympathetic to some of our ideas. And we do have a very good one in Britain, Rupert Lowe, who is excellent. And if you actually see some of the things that he's saying, he could be a Radio Albion host. So it's not the end of the show just yet until the Fat Lady sings. And I think we do have a chance that we can get decent politicians in there who can make life a little bit easier for us. But as to making wholesale changes, then I'm in agreement with you there, Grandpa. I don't think we can make these big changes, but we can make small changes, and we can talk about the reasons why this is the way that it is, and we can remind people that it wasn't always this way. In a scandal which will raise questions about criminals in uniform across the UK, the Met was one of at least six forces to secretly drop employment checks on new recruits in a rush for extra cash as part of an attempt to find 20,000 new officers. And as I say, I'm sure that I can remember reading that they were going to stop the requirement to have a clean criminal record in order to get black and minority ethnic people to join the police. So I'm not sure that this was done in secret. I think it was quite openly said that they were going to be doing this. I mean, that's the sort of recommendation that was made in the David Lammy report about how we can get more equal figures, more equal representation. And that was another point that you said earlier, Grandpa, about the representation is just for the percentage of the population that they are. That's not what they do. They're not happy with just the percentage of the population. They want more representation than that, because they theorize that in the future, the percentage of the population is going to increase. So they need to get more black and minority ethnic officers into these positions so they are ready for when black people form a much higher percentage of the population. So it's not even as if they're just going for the 3 or 4% of the population in Britain that is actually black. They're going for much higher numbers. Getting back to this article here, as a result, thousands of officers and staff across England and Wales were employed without any basic employment reference checks, according to a damning report. Details emerged in a bombshell Met recruitment audit, which revealed the Home Office and the National Police Chiefs Council were aware that some other forces in England were not taking references of new recruits, despite the obvious risk to the public. And I say, obviously, the Home Office were involved in this. They said we need to get more black and minority ethnic police officers into the police. We don't care how it's done. We just need to get these figures in there, because all of our research says that the reason why they're not joining the police is because of racism, because of white racism. White privilege is the reason why so many white people become the police. We know all of these arguments. So I'm not surprised that the Home Office were involved in saying, I mean, they pretty much said you don't have to do any background checks on these people. We just need to get more of them into these positions. And I think, I mean, I'm not absolutely certain on this, but I think that may have been one of the recommendations in the David Lammy report, was that they dropped the requirement for people to join the police to have a completely clean criminal record. The Daily Mail has learnt that the Met was one of six forces to admit. So that's only the ones that admitted doing this. There are probably a lot more that were actually doing this. One of six forces to admit in an NPCC survey that it had deviated from national police regulations during the £3 billion police uplift programme between July 2019 and March 2023. But sources said the true number may be higher, as some forces failed to respond to the NPCC poll. And it wouldn't surprise me if it was the whole country that was doing this, because they did have a big drive to get more black people to join the police force. And as I say, the only way that they could do that really is to drop the requirement to have a clean criminal record, which I think they could probably just about get past the public if they were saying it was just for small offences such as possession of cannabis. But what's gone on here is they've just got rid of the requirement altogether and taken people on with massive criminal records or had investigations against them for child rape. Any thoughts on this investigation here, Grandpa?
See, I because I'm jaded, a.k.a. I'm a realist, I try not to get bogged down in all of their excuses. You know, when you see a story like this, and this is one of those where this is an extreme example, and what we're being fed here is all of the excuses of what this is. of why rather they do this. But if you step back, what this tells us is these are the quality of people they want in law enforcement. We see this in the U.S. and in another, looking at it from another angle. They won't hire if you apply to be a cop here in America, if you have an IQ of something like over 95, they won't hire you. There was a court case because this guy had a higher IQ. He applied to be a cop and they kicked him out and wouldn't let him in. And he found out that the reason was because he was too smart. And so we went to court and said, well, that's BS. And the court basically sided with the cops. Imagine that. And said, you know, no, that's part of their hiring. They don't want anybody too smart. And that tells you then that they want people of a certain level in those positions, which makes you ask, well, why is that? We got a story like this, and you know, we have all of the excuses. But if you step back, they want people of a certain caliber in the police force. You know, they give us all the excuses about diversity and whatnot, all they want to. But at the end of the day, the end result is they obviously want a lower caliber of people in the police force. And I'm sorry, but I believe there's a reason for that. And I think the simplest, most simple reason, I'll get to it. I'll spit it out here in a minute. Conclusion to come to is that when massive civil unrest breaks out, they're going to need police that will blindly follow orders and brutalize the citizens. They don't want somebody that's got a little common sense that says, yeah, no, I'm not following those orders. I'm going to side with the people. They want people that when they get the order to go out there and beat everybody's heads in and drag them off, that they will do that, that they won't have a moral objection to that. In fact, they want people that will say, heck yeah, here's my chance to bash somebody's heads in. Again, we see that on some of the extreme examples over here where you have trigger happy cops that are obviously the only reason they took this job is they thought they might get the chance to shoot people. And you have trigger happy cops that shoot people for trivial reasons. And you know, so it's obvious you've got somebody that's why they're in that job. They think they might legally get to kill somebody. They don't want to be in the military to do that because the odds are higher that the people they get to shoot will be shooting back. So they go for being a cop. They want this level of people in the police force. And I think that's another important take for people dealing with the reality of the situation. The government here, in this instance, we're talking about Britain, they want people like this in the police force. They're giving us all their various excuses, but the end result is the same. Whether those excuses are genuine or not is irrelevant. The end result is they are intentionally putting, in this case, literal criminals into uniform. And I think it's reasonable to come to the conclusion that there is a reason they're doing that. And it's a pretty dark reason.
Well, I think it is kind of reasonable that they might not want people that are too clever because they might question the orders, and you have to have a chain of command, and you might disagree with what you've been told to do, but you have to do it because that's the hierarchy. Whereas somebody, as you say, there with a bit more common sense or a bit more intelligence, they might question the order. So I don't think it's too unreasonable to say that they only want a certain level of intelligence in certain positions. Obviously, they want someone with a higher intelligence to be a detective, to do the investigating. They're going to want somebody with a higher IQ. So I'm not so certain that is linked to this. But I mean, it could well be. David Carrick, one of the UK's worst sex offenders, now serving 37 life sentences for attacks on 14 women, and Mitchell, who called himself the devil, were among Met officers not properly vetted in the scramble to meet recruitment targets. And this David Carrick, I don't think he was part of the diversity drive. I don't think he was there for part of a diversity quota, but it may have been just because they wanted to get more people into the police that they didn't properly vet him. Mitchell kidnapped and raped a woman at knife point in 2023 after being welcomed into the Met in 2020. And you have to say, well, what other offences was he carrying out in those 3 years? despite being previously investigated for 6 counts of rape against a child. Although there had been concerns about his recruitment, a vetting panel aimed at boosting diversity overturned a decision to reject his application. And of course, all these civil service branches of the government, they all have to be seen to be promoting diversity. And that was part of one of the acts that Tony Blair did when he was in office with New Labour. Every one of these branches of the government, and I think every business now as well, has to show their plan for increasing the diversity amongst their employees. It's just part of everything. And this is the end result that you get when you try to boost this diversity, because everybody isn't the same, and different people groups are statistically different from one another. That's why you don't tend to see many black women running big businesses and big corporations. And whenever you hear of a big corporation talking about how wonderful it is, they've just put a black woman in charge of their business, you then hear that the business goes broke and it crashes. Because people aren't just interchangeable units. You can't just put one person in one job over there and another person in another job over there. Everything has to be tailored for the people concerned. And you just aren't going to get enough decent black police officers unless you do stop looking at the criminal records. And that means that they're just looking at the numbers. Mitchell was one of dozens of cases where ethnic minorities and those from underrepresented groups were allowed into the force to boost diversity targets despite concerns about their recruitment. So that's clearly what's more important to the police and the establishment, is to improve diversity, boost diversity. That is more important than actually employing criminals, which is quite a shocking thing to say. Grandpa, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, once again, we see the same thing with the story. You know, this panel says, oh no, they overturn and say, you got to hire this guy. Zero accountability. Now imagine, Sven, if you were running a daycare center, you're running your daycare center and you're hiring staff, you're watching people's kids, and you knowingly hire a sex offender for your daycare center as a worker. And you know he's a sex offender. You did a background check. He's a sex offender. You hire him anyway. Something terrible inevitably happens. And you're not going to get out of that scot-free, because they're going to, when they do their investigation on this guy, they're going to say, well, you knew he was a sex offender and you hired him to work around children. You're probably going to be a cellmate with this guy. You are going to be in trouble. You notice whenever it's them, there's no accountability. This review board overturned this and said, oh, no, you got to hire this guy. He'll be great. He turns around and commits an actual violent rape against people, against some woman, and no accountability. Where are the review board people being held accountable? Why are there no charges being filed? And this is how bad it is. When I say, why are no charges being filed against the people on the review board, people roll their eyes and go, oh, well, that's not going to happen. They're just a review board. You can't put them in jail for that. If you ran a daycare center and hired a known pedophile and he raped a child, you're going to jail as a citizen. Why don't these people have the same level of accountability? We know why, because the entire system is corrupt. But that just highlights that corruption, doesn't it? We don't even expect anybody to sit here and say, well, the review board people that signed off on this should also be charged as an accessory. Oh, but roll their eyes. No, that's not gonna, that's because that's how conditioned we are to the corruption, where we don't even see it anymore. But if you did that, if you knowingly hired a criminal to be around children and he assaulted a child, you would be charged as an accessory and you would be held accountable. But we don't expect any accountability. We know nobody from this review board is going to get knock on the door at 1 a.m. unless they put an objectionable post on Facebook. No accountability. We don't expect accountability, because we know there will be no accountability, because the entire system is corrupt. In Britain, all of Western Europe, in the U.S., we know this. We don't even expect it anymore. We don't even get our hopes up, because in the back of our minds, we accept it. We just know that that's the way that it is. None of these, why are none of these review board people, what are their names? Why aren't they being plastered in the story? Why, let's see their pictures. Who signed off on this? Why is there no accountability? There's no accountability because the entire system is corrupt. And we, the people, we know it. We don't want to say it. Well, we say it. But for the average person, they don't want to say it. They don't want to admit it to themselves. But yet, essentially, you do admit it to yourself when you shrug and you say, well, you know, they're just on the review board. They we can't expect them to be charged as criminal accessories, even though that's the standard. I can 100% guarantee would be applied to anybody else in any other situation. That's where we're at. And tell me again, this is a legitimate system. It is not. The corruption is endemic, and these are signs of it. We don't even expect anyone from the review board to say to face any sort of repercussions. Hell, they won't even lose their job, much less face any sort of criminal charges.
Well, I think the fact they don't tell us who was on the review board actually does add as evidence to say that it is the system that's corrupt. They were just obeying orders. They were just doing what they were told to do. They're diversity and inclusion officers. Their goal is to improve diversity and inclusion. And if that means you have to ignore somebody's criminal record, you have to ignore somebody's criminal record. That's what they will have been told. So that's why we're not being told who's on the vetting panel. And that is the evidence that shows that it is the system itself that is corrupt here. A vetting panel tackling disproportionality in the workforce overturned decisions to reject 114 officers and staff, resulting in the recruitment of 25 Met officers who went on to be accused of criminality or misconduct. The report found vetting and reference checks were effectively switched off by Met managers to meet recruitment targets, which would bring in £30.8 million in extra funding for the force. So there is a financial incentive there as well. And there is a financial incentive with a lot of this diversity inclusion stuff. Massive amounts of money that these diversity and inclusion officers get paid. And there are all these extra funding in order to help black people get into university, get black people into the police force, all that sort of thing. So you can just see how much money it was here. £30.8 million they would get in extra funding for the police force if they got a certain number of black people into the force, effectively. In board meetings led by then Commissioner Cresta Dick, it was decided to prioritise speed and output, resulting in 17,355 officers and staff joining without obtaining full employment references from 2018 to April 2022. So it went on for 4 years, and just in this one police force, that was almost 18,000 police actually joined without being checked. And you can see here where in the board meetings led by Cresta Dick, she decided to prioritise speed and output. So the output is the number of black officers that they get. So getting the number of black officers in was most important. And the speed in doing it, which meant, well, we just won't do any background checks. And then we can say we've fulfilled our diversity targets. Look how many more black people we've got in the police force. And the end result of that, of not doing these checks, of prioritising quantity rather than quality, is that you end up with child rapists on the police force. Grandpa, any thoughts on this bit?
If you support the police, this is what you support. Maybe not in principle. I mean, in theory, what should be. But the reality is this is your police force in Britain. This is it. I mean, it's not what it should be. It's not what it used to be. But we don't deal in fantasy land. If you live in Britain, this is your police force. And if you support them, this is what you're supporting. Again, this is really hard for older people, to people who remember back when it was, to wrap their minds around. They want to believe it's somehow still that way, because this is just the way we as human beings are when we're faced with a really unpleasant reality. It's like we revert to childhood. We want to deny that reality and say it isn't so. Cover our eyes, cover our ears, and say, no, that's not how it is. If you support the police, and I'm not saying go out and be a criminal when I say that, but if you support the police, this is what you support, because that's what it is. It's not what it should be, and it's not what it used to be, but that doesn't matter. This is what the police are in Britain today. And so if you ruin, I don't know if in Britain you have a back the blue type mentality like people have here in a lot of places in the U.S., but if you back the blue in Britain, this is what you support. Don't complain about it later, because this is it. This is what you're supporting. Maybe not all of them, but as a unit from the top down, like the old saying, fish rots from the head down, this is what you're supporting. And I think people, I would just say that's what people need to wrap their minds around.
Yeah, I don't think there really is that much support over here for the police. You certainly don't see back the blue stickers anywhere or anything like that. The Met acknowledged that an estimated 1,200 officers and staff should not have joined and would not have passed today's vetting standards. Well, have they all been given the sack? That sounds like they're all still there, doesn't it? The report noted a fear of adverse financial consequences for the Met if it did not find 4,557 recruits in a 3.5-year period, resulting in a realignment of risk tolerances. And this is interesting, adverse financial consequences. And I'm sure in the David Lammy report, that's what it suggested there should be for prisons, that they should be checked, they should be audited. And if they had more than the percentage of the population of black people in prison, then there should be adverse financial consequences. The same for universities that don't have a certain percentage of black students, there should be adverse financial consequences. And I might even be getting the two mixed up there. It might be the universities. But I'm sure I can remember doing a podcast where it was saying there needs to be financial consequences for organizations that don't meet their diversity targets. And again, this is the result of that. Home Secretary Shabnam Mahmood said abandoning checks was a dereliction of the Met's duty to keep London safe, adding Londoners rightly expect officers to undergo robust checks so the brightest and best, not criminals, are policing our streets. I have asked the Chief Inspector of Constabulary to carry out an inspection as I seek to restore trust in the force's ability to protect and serve the public. And again, I'll just remind listeners, we've already discussed this a few years back about them no longer doing these criminal background checks on black and minority ethnic applicants to join the police. So I'm not quite sure what this inspection is going to achieve, because as far as I can see, all the people involved in this were just following orders. They were just doing what they were told to do. They were just trying to improve the diversity of the police force. And this is your end result. Grandpa, any final thoughts on today's subject matter?
Yeah, well, we can be assured of one thing, and that is they'll have their quote-unquote investigation and nothing will happen. And we see this time and time again. And whenever they talk about these financial incentives, you know, they miss out on all this money. We've already covered that this is an utterly corrupt system. Where's the money going? How much of that money gets diverted into people's pockets, various people's bank accounts? When they throw all of this money around, this is a observably corrupt system. And when they're throwing this kind of money around, you can bet a certain percentage of that money lines somebody's pockets. They're going to do their investigation and nothing will change. They're just doing that for the media cycle. Oh, yeah, we're going to get to the bottom of it. How many of these investigations have they had already? How many are they going to have in the future? At the end of the day, nothing changes. And for the average citizen, what you can do is wrap your mind around the reality and conduct yourself accordingly. Like I said earlier, I'm not saying go out and be a criminal. Actually, the opposite. Do everything you can not to have anything to do. Don't try to interact with these people. Don't you just try to stay out of the system. They're not on your side. You see this. Wrap your mind around the reality. Conduct yourself accordingly.
Well, I think things like this are going to continue to happen until we get rid of diversity, inclusion, and equity advice to all of these companies, which is something at least that Donald Trump has supposedly done in America. But until they do that in Britain, I think we're just going to continue to get news stories about people being in important job positions in society that shouldn't actually be there because they don't have the qualifications to be there. And the only reason they've been put into that position is because of their race or their sexuality. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.